Amen. You may be seated. We're going to stay in Galatians chapter 5, primarily verse 18 today. And the title of the message is, How Do You Know You Are Being Led by the Holy Spirit? That's a very good question. We are all being led. We are either being led by our flesh or we are being led by the Spirit. But how do we know which one is doing the leading? You know, we often think about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we think about these, maybe we would say, amazing stories, crazy stories. I mean, I think about the leading of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was brand new on staff at my first church, there was a man who had just come in from the street, sat in the worship service, and at the very end of the preaching, got up and informed the church that the Holy Spirit had led him to tell our church that we were to relinquish all of our ownership, property, and rights to him, that God had made him the new pastor of Liberty Memorial Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And so, of course, we did it. I mean, the Holy Spirit led him, right? No, we didn't do that. But we did have a good conversation with him afterwards. You know, you think about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you might think about a guy like that who says, yeah, God led me to do this. And what are you supposed to say to that? Sometimes it's just bizarre. Well, then there's other moments, and I don't want to discount the leading of the Holy Spirit, because there's moments like in my life where I have felt, yes, I use that dirty word, I felt the Holy Spirit moving me, leading me to do something, whatever that something was. Now, I don't always feel the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'll be honest with you, give you a good example of how I didn't feel the Holy Spirit, feel it like a heebie-jeebie, but I knew it was God's will when we came here 13 years ago. Some of you immature will go, well, that's it, I'm done with this church. He didn't feel. But when my wife and I were trying to pray through, should we move our family 9 hours from home, that was a serious decision. We didn't feel thrilled to do that. You know, we were scared. We had a lot of questions. I just knew I was going to get fired anyway. And so here we moved and we were nervous. We didn't have this just joyous peace as we packed up our belongings. We were anxious. We were nervous, maybe even in sin, yes. But we came because we believed it was God's will. So we didn't just have a feeling, but we did feel, in a sense, God was calling us. It's just all the feelings weren't in line maybe the way we wanted them to be there. So how are we led by the Holy Spirit? Well, when you look at verse 18, it says, but if you are led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's the word led, and there's the word Holy Spirit, and there's the word you. So we all should start asking the question, how am I led by the Holy Spirit? Well, I hope that the message today will guide and direct us to think biblically about how we are led by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to give you three ways I believe we can know we're led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is a person, who is part of the Trinity, who is real, not just an impression, but a person of the Godhead. Now, the first way we will know that we are being led by the Spirit is if we're saved. The Holy Spirit does not just lead anyone. The Holy Spirit does not necessarily lead, control, direct your lost coworker or your unbelieving neighbor. The Spirit is in a relationship with those who are born again. So immediately when we're talking about being led by the Spirit, we can make a distinction that not everyone on planet Earth is led by the Holy Spirit, only those who are born again. Now, let me just add something to that, though. It is the Holy Spirit who saves the lost. Sometimes that's perhaps where people get confused. You know, we read in Scripture that we are born again, and we are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, every person who's ever been lost and dead in their trespasses and sins, it is the Holy Spirit that came to them and awakened them and gave them new birth. Now, anyone who's saved has been saved by the Holy Spirit. I think immediately of the story in John chapter 3, where Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is saying, how can I essentially be saved? But he uses the word born again. Must I go into my mother's womb a second time? Is that what you are telling me? And Jesus says, no. No, 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 no. You don't go into your mother's womb a second time to be born again. He says it is a spiritual matter. The Holy Spirit is the one who causes new birth. Now, just listen to what he says. Jesus says, truly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of, capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In other words, what Jesus was teaching Nicodemus is that, yes, the Holy Spirit is what regenerates you, saves you, gives you new birth, causes you to be born again. But let me restate my whole first point here. Only those who are saved, who are born again, can have a real, vital, living relationship with the Holy Spirit. Look in the text, Galatians 5. Look how Paul puts it in verse 18. But if you... Now, who is the you that he is addressing? Well, the you that he is addressing are the Christians in the Galatia region, the churches of Galatia. And if you take a step back and you think about the context of the book of Galatians, he's writing to Christians who have been swayed by false teachers. And he's reminding them that they have a battle between the spirit and the flesh. There's a constant struggle for every believer between our spiritual side, our fleshly side. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Now he comes in verse 18 and says, but you who are saved, you who are born again, you who are regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying there in verse 18. If you are led. So immediately we realize the you there is referring to those who are saved, those who are regenerated, those who are born again. Only those who have a saving relationship with the Holy Spirit can have a leading relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think that's important to note because, again, we're living in a day and age where everyone throws around the name God. Everyone claims to have a relationship with God. It has become so general and generic that people assume that every promise in the Bible is unequivocally, unconditionally applied to everyone, everywhere, at all times. Friends, I'm telling you, you can't be led by a spirit that you haven't been regenerated and reborn through. So those who are saved are led by the Holy Spirit of God because they were born of the Spirit. Now, being led by the Spirit of God, being saved, being one of those you, the Spirit is now in a relationship with the believer. It's a unique, intimate relationship with the believer. Did you know that the Bible tells us we, believers, can grieve the Holy Spirit of the living God? That's mind-boggling to me. That God, as one commentator wrote, I don't know that I'd go this far, but I'll say it, that God has emotions. At least the Holy Spirit seems to have emotions. He's grieved. He's burdened. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, we're told in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, those who are sealed, those who are saved, can also grieve the Holy Spirit of God. They can grieve the Spirit giving into sin, living disobediently, ignoring Scripture. They are in a relationship, a real, vital, vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit. For every one of us in this room and listening to my voice, who is the you who is saved, let me tell you that you can be led by the Holy Spirit because He indwells you. He has an intimate relationship with the children of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit teaches us, prays for us. I'm reminded in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit prays, intercedes for the children of God. We are in this beautiful, wonderful relationship with the Holy Spirit. So how are you led by the Spirit? Well, number one, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to be in an intimate relationship with the Spirit that we are promised for all those who are saved. But secondly, let me say that how we're led by the Spirit is once we have passed the salvation marker, and we know that we've been born again, we know that we've been saved, we know that we're in a relationship indwelt, well, then the second way we know that we're led by the Holy Spirit is we see the Spirit strengthening us. So how do we know we're led by the Holy Spirit? We're saved, we're strengthened. We're strengthened. Now, the Holy Spirit strengthens those who belong to Him. Notice back in our text, Galatians chapter 5, back to verse 18, but if you are led. Now, notice the words, but if. That is a conditional statement. The believer can give in to the flesh and not be led by the Holy Spirit. So don't assume that you're always led by the Holy Spirit. Don't assume that you're always walking in truth. It could be the opposite, that you're grieving the Holy Spirit. But if, conditionally, you, the believer, the saved, are being led. Now, what does the word led mean? Well, when I break the word led down, I think about being strengthened. I'm strengthened by the Spirit. Notice what the word led means in its context, in its wording. It means laying hold. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you've laid hold of Him. He has laid hold of you. But let me go a bit further. It means guidance. Yes, guidance for living and for life. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're strengthened through the guidance that the Holy Spirit promises to give you. Let me give you another word, direct. The Holy Spirit promises to direct those who are His children. So when we're led, we're laid hold of, we're given guidance, we're directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, that communicates to me that the Spirit will strengthen me. And how do I know that I'm being led by the Spirit? I'm being strengthened. I'm being led. I'm being guided. I'm being directed. I'm being built up. This is what the Holy Spirit does. If you just took your Bible and you said, okay, I want to know specifically how the Holy Spirit leads and directs and guides. Well, you would come to a lot of passages of Scripture that would tell you what the Holy Spirit does. He counsels. I'm just going to rattle these off. Isaiah 11:2. He imparts wisdom. Isaiah 11:2. He inspired Scripture. Acts 1:16. He intercedes. Romans 8:26. He reminds. John 14:26. He provides truth. John 14:17. He teaches. Luke 12:12. He testifies that we belong to him. 1 John 5:7-8. So you just think about all the references there are in the Bible. There's a lot. I rattled them off. I didn't expect you to get them, but I expect you to understand and see that the Spirit does a lot to lead. But let me just boil it down right here. One primarily objective way the Spirit leads is through the Word of God. Now, when he counsels and he imparts wisdom and he teaches us and he speaks to us and he reminds us and he testifies to us, the Spirit's primary tool is the Word of God. And we know that because Jesus said in John chapter 16, you know, he was getting ready to leave his disciples, be crucified, buried, resurrected, returned to heaven. And he tells them, now I'm going to go away, and my Father is going to send to you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. There's that very well-known passage where Christ promises the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he says this in John 16:3. Now just listen. He says, "For when the Spirit of truth comes." Now do you hear that? He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. Now, what is truth? Well, God's truth is God's word. I mean, we know this. Peter tells us that no portion of Scripture was invented by men, concocted by men. Now, I'm paraphrasing. But these men were driven by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along like a sailboat is carried along by the wind. They were carried along to write out, to be inspired, to give us the Scripture that we have. So when it says the Spirit of truth, it's the truth of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit inspired the biblical writers to write. It's the truth that Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The Word of God is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he comes, the Scripture says, with guidance, to guide us in all truth. So in John 16:3, I think it really helps us understand the primary way, not the only way the Holy Spirit strengthens us, but the primary way the Holy Spirit does all of this work is through the Word of God. He is the Spirit of truth. He guides us in truth. He inspired the truth of the Word of God. And if we want to experience the Spirit, we want to hear from the Spirit, we want to be strengthened by the Spirit, well, the first place we need to go is the Word of God, letting the Spirit of God lead and direct us. Now, you know, I fully expect today, when the Word of God is expounded and explained and proclaimed, that the Spirit of God will work on some of you. He'll take the words of His truth. He'll take the feeble clay jar of the preacher and he will speak to you. He will convict you. He will challenge you through the word. Absolutely, I expect that. But I want to also just give a little warning on the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Spirit primarily works through the word, but I would also say that he does work internally in our heart. But we have to be very careful here. You know, some people have accused Baptists of being robots, and Baptists have accused others of being radios when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Are you a robot or a radio? You know, I'm not a robot when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I don't just say, no, the Holy Spirit only speaks through the Word of God and never speaks to my heart. I could never hear that. I have no feelings. I'm not going to say that. Friends, there have been times when I've been preaching And to the best way that I can describe it to you, I've had everything written out because I do think a pastor should study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed. A pastor should be prepared. Now, there's these crazy people that think you ought to not prepare anything. You know, you just need to get up in the pulpit and, you know, just be slain. Now, God can do that. I've seen him do that. I've seen him do it in my own life when I didn't know I was supposed to be preaching. That's an illustration for another time. I mean, I'm given the word on the last verse of the last hymn, and I stand up by the grace of God, inspired by God, and I'm able to do it somehow, and the Lord uses it. So yes, that can happen. It happens. But it's not wrong to be studied. It's not wrong to be prepared. But I can tell you that even in the study and the preparation, there have been times standing up here where the Holy Spirit has, to the best of the way I can explain it, spoken to me, not telling me anything new, okay, not going against Scripture, but just giving me a thought at the right moment that I didn't plan on having, that wasn't in my notes. And ironically, when those sweet moments come, again, it's nothing extra biblical. It's not added to the Bible. It's nothing crazy like that. It's just maybe some clarity, a mental moment of clarity. And so many of you will respond unknowingly, "That was the best part. I really appreciated what you said here or there." So I'm not a robot. Does the Holy Spirit sometimes speak in unique ways to me? Of course he does. And he'll speak as well to you. But we have to be very careful. Very careful here. Please help, hear me on the careful part. Because while many have accused Baptists of being robots with the Holy Spirit, there's those who are radios. I mean, they think like a radio is always playing and always talking, that the Holy Spirit is always playing in their head. And you'll even hear them say, "Well, you know, I was at the store today and I was praying, Holy Spirit, lead me. What should I buy, fruit or a donut?" And I'll tell you right now, the Holy Spirit will always lead me to a donut, not to fruit. And I'll also tell you, it's not the Holy Spirit. You see, I think what we like to do is we like to use the Holy Spirit. And this is where we need to be extremely careful and thought-provoking and in prayer and in the Word so that we're guided. Because I think what we like to do is make excuses and blame the Holy Spirit. You know, so we'll say, "Well, you know, the Spirit told me," and who can argue with that, right? Well, I've learned to argue with it. Because if it really is the Holy Spirit, he'll tell more than just you, and you'll be able to back it up from Scripture. I've seen people be as unloving, unkind, ungracious toward a church or a pastor, but the Holy Spirit told them to leave. I've seen that. I wonder, is it really the Holy Spirit? Are you just making excuses? I remember when I was in college, there was a young man. His name was Donnie. He was a preacher boy. I wasn't a preacher boy yet. I thought they were all weird. I still do. And anyway, he was different, and he was always talking about how the Spirit of God had led him. And I remember that he made this big deal to us one day on campus that the Holy Spirit was leading him to take a church in South Arkansas. Now, see, right there, I could have questioned that, right? South Arkansas. But the Holy Spirit was leading him to take a church in South Arkansas. And so in all sincerity, he follows the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And he makes this big deal on the way out the door. "I'm following the call of God." And then he gets to this church. He's still going to college in Conway. And guess what happens? He meets a girl. Don't you love how all this is about to change, right? He meets a girl. And suddenly the Holy Spirit's changed his mind, right? And so he comes back and he tells all of us, now he hasn't been there 3 months. And he tells all of us that the Lord has called me elsewhere. Of course, closer to this girl, right? And so he says, the Lord has called me elsewhere and called me to leave this church and come back to Conway. And I'm thankful that I had a wise professor who didn't put up with stuff like that. Ron Mitchell, God rest his soul. He looked at him and said, Donnie, your God sure does change his mind a whole lot, don't you think? I think that needs to be said to many people who have the radio of the Holy Spirit going in their ear all the time. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't work, but let's be clear. If he really worked the way we claim he worked, he sure is capricious, right? Let me tell you what R.C. Sproul said. I thought this was brilliant. He said, we are masters at justifying our sin. And one of the chief ways we do that is saying we are led by the Spirit to do such and such. Then he goes on to say, now this is not a problem that I have encountered once every 10 years. This is a problem I encounter almost weekly. Let that sink in. You see, it's not that one guy in a million is coming along in the church saying, yeah, the Spirit of God told me to do this. I feel led to do this. No, no, no. As Sproul is saying, this is happening every week. People are doing this every week. And the reality is a lot of this is crouched in an excuse to do what we really want to do. We're self-justifying of our sin and our selfishness, and this is a really easy way to do it. Well, I do want to say the Holy Spirit strengthens. I hope you heard that. That's the point. But we have to be very, very careful. He strengthens us in truth, and he would never lead us to not be full of joy and peace and kindness and faithfulness and long-suffering in the way we treat other people, in the way we handle our business, in the way we conduct our worship. I don't care what we feel. The Holy Spirit would never go against the fruits of the Spirit. So if it's the Holy Spirit leading, if you are being led, strengthened by the one who is the truth, who leads us in all truth, then you'll be able to clearly demonstrate the truth of the Word of God backing up the strengthening of the Spirit of God. Let me go to the final point. How do we know that we're led by the Holy Spirit? Well, we're saved. We're in a relationship. We're not grieving Him. We're strengthened. We're under the Spirit of truth. We're not robots, we're not radios, we're not making excuses, but we're strengthened by truth. But let me go to one final thing that we will know ultimately we are led by the Holy Spirit of God, and that is we are being sanctified. Sanctified. Now that's a big word. It's a $10 word. It just means you're growing. Spiritually growing. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, if the Holy Spirit is leading us, if we are being led by the Spirit, do we want what the Spirit intends to give? Because I'm going to tell you that the Spirit's primary objective in your life and my life is sanctification, leading us to be sanctified, to grow spiritually. Now, you see, most people, when they talk about the leading of the Spirit, they're talking about choosing sandwiches or hamburgers or going hither or there. But I'm telling you that I think the primary way the Holy Spirit in Scripture leads us is sanctifying us. So notice, if you will, in our text how Paul puts this. Verse 18. So if you, being saved, are led, being strengthened and given direction by the Holy Spirit, the result, you are not under the law. Now, what does that mean? That seems a little out of place, doesn't it? But it's not, because if you follow his overarching argument in the book of Galatians, he's been saying that the law reveals our sin, and the way it does it is it shows us what sin is. And then it shows us that we're breaking the law. You know, so a quick example to make this kind of come together. You know, it's like when you're out driving on a road that you've never driven on before, and you're doing 55 or 60 because you kind of reason, well, that's average. There's no one out here. There's four lanes. It's pretty open. I'm just going to guess 55 and hope that everything's good. And then you pass a sign, a law, and it informs you what the speed limit is. And you're like, 45? Who on God's green earth would make anything 45? Ever, right? Amen? Abolish the speed limit, amen? That's what I'm going for. Elect me and we will get it done. It's pointless outside of cities. I mean interstates, okay? But abolish interstate speed limits. So, you know, you're driving, and I remember this happened to me in South Arkansas, driving on a highway in the middle of nowhere. I thought, if I go 45, something will eat me. I mean, I've got to go faster than that. But there it is. There's the speed limit sign, 45, and I have to slow down. And literally for an hour from Shreveport up to roughly Spring Hill, Louisiana, I am just driving at a snail's pace, fearful because I don't want to break the law. It's shown me what the law is. It made me aware of breaking it. And so now I have to decide, am I going to be a law abider or a law breaker? I won't tell you what I did. But you know, the law of God is that way as well. You know, here you are just cruising around in life, and how do you know adultery is wrong? Maybe if it feels good, you do it. And then the law of God kind of is posted, you know, it's the signpost. It's posted in the Word, it's preached from a pulpit, it's said in a Ten Commandment, and you go, oh no, now I realize that I've got a choice to make. I'm either a law abider or a law breaker. Well, Paul is saying here that if you're led by the Holy Spirit of God, two things are true about you. You're no longer under the condemnation of the law because you have been set free by Christ Jesus. You are a law breaker. You have been a law breaker, but your law breaking has been forgiven. Your debt has been paid. No judgment will be sentenced to you because Christ has forgiven you. Now, that's one thing that he means here. But the second thing that he means here is that now that the Holy Spirit resides in you and lives in you, that God is going to put in you a new heart that seeks to live his word, desires his word. And so there's no longer laws that need to be imposed on you. You just freely love. There's a difference. You know, we don't impose laws, at least not yet, on families because we do things in families out of love, not out of duty, out of love. You know, you don't have to tell, you shouldn't, man, what a weird world we're living in. We shouldn't have to tell parents to provide for their children and love their children. That just should be instinct. Love should motivate us to do that. You don't need a law to do that. You shouldn't need a law to do that. Laws only come in when there is no love. You know, if I love my country, you don't have to tell me to defend it or keep it clean. If I love my family, you don't have to tell me to protect and provide for them. But the problem is when you don't love, well, then every law under the book has to be imposed because nobody loves anymore. They just do what they want. Well, you see, in the scripture, what he's saying here is that if you're in this relationship with the Holy Spirit, you have a love of God in your heart. There is no need for a law to be imposed upon you because the Holy Spirit is going to move you and guide you and direct you in this truth and cause you to be sanctified. So I could put it like this, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That's what God's will is for you. When you say, well, if I'm going to be led and guided and directed, how am I led, guided, and directed? I would say, in any way that the Holy Spirit thinks will sanctify you best. So God may lead you into situations where you don't necessarily feel thrilled about it, but you're not going for a feeling, you're going for sanctification. You're going to be changed radically by the will of God. You're not going for heebie-jeebies. I feel good about this. You're going for sanctification. I mean, the primary thing that the Lord wants to do is bear fruit in you. And notice Paul, who is a prisoner, who is under persecution, who tells us in 2 Corinthians that he has been beaten with a whip. Notice that he says the fruit of the Spirit is peace. That doesn't mean that God changes all your circumstances perfectly to where it all works out. Notice he says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That doesn't mean you're happy all the time because you got everything you wanted. He's saying God is going to do a work in you regardless of what is around you. Inwardly, the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify you so that you can deal with whatever circumstances are out there. He'll tell the Philippians, I have learned in every situation to be content. Friends, God leading you by the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how you feel. If it will strengthen you, build you, draw you to have more patience, more endurance, more strength, more godliness, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. But I think the problem is that we don't want that. That's not the growth we want. That's not the leading of the Holy Spirit many Christians want. That's just far too stark and real. I think what we really want is an experience. And so I'll close by saying we fall into the same dangerous trap as Simon the magician. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8 where a man named Simon had practiced magic? The Apostle Paul is in Philippi. He's proclaiming Christ. And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 9, there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria. Now, focus on that word, amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. Now, we're almost finished. Listen to me. So here this man is. He is using magic. People are enthralled with his power, enthralled with his abilities, paying attention to him, believing him. And along comes the brothers. Along comes the apostles, Philip particularly, who has signs and wonders. And the scripture says that when he saw them give the Holy Spirit, his response is, I want that. Oh my gosh, I want that. Give me the Holy Spirit. What do I have to pay you to get this incredible experience? When they see this Spirit and they see me being able to give this Spirit, they are going to think even greater of me, even more wonderful of me. I need the experience. But the scripture says, verse 18, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. Now, friends, you may not be trying to obtain the gift of the Holy Spirit with money, but there's many in the church today that are equally as guilty as Simon the magician. They are trying to obtain the Holy Spirit, maybe not for money, but for a whole lot of other reasons that are sensual and fleshly. Be very careful why you want the Holy Spirit. We ought to want growth. We ought to want sanctification. We ought to want God to do a work in us and say, yes, Holy Spirit, it's not about the experience necessarily. It's not about the feelings. But Lord, it's about you working in me. So the question, are you led by the Holy Spirit? Well, I hope I've helped you answer that today. Are you saved? Are you strengthened? Are you sanctified? That's what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we pray that we would be led by the Spirit of God, that your children would be obedient to your truth, that we would listen and hear and read the truth. Let the Spirit of God strengthen us and sanctify us who are in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray for those who are lost, that they would hear the gospel, they would be saved, they would be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said amen.